The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely, the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it, and you will be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me a man who can play well, and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David your son, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David his son to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week we heard of God's people rejecting the Lord as their king and demanding that they be like all the other nations, with one of their own as their king. The Lord warned them that they wouldn't like it, but relented and instructed his prophet Samuel, "Obey their voice and make them a king." The Lord then arranged for Saul, a member of the smallest tribe, Benjamin, to present himself to Samuel, who anointed him to be king. The Lord blessed King Saul in his battles against the enemies of Israel, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and the Amalekites. Saul, however, repaid the Lord's faithfulness by rejecting the command of the Lord, who in return rejected Saul as king. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." As we heard, Jesse had seven of his sons, beginning with the eldest, pass before Samuel. In each case, however, the Lord instructed Samuel, "The Lord has not chosen this one." As he told Samuel it was not to be the eldest, the Lord explained, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord sees not as a man sees. The Lord looks on the heart." This shouldn't have been a surprise to Samuel. Consider Abram, childless at the age of 75, whom the Lord chose to be the father of many nations. Consider Jacob, not the elder son, and a cheating scoundrel to boot, whom the Lord chose as the one through whom he would fulfill his promises. Consider the nation of Israel, The Lord declared, "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples." The Virgin Mary sang of the Lord ignoring outward appearances in her Magnificat. She sang, "The Lord has looked on the humble estate of his servant. His mercy is for those who fear him, generation to generation. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." King David himself would later speak of this truth in repentance and faith as he prayed, "O God, you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." We sang of it just a week and a half ago in an introit taken from Psalm 47. "The Lord's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love." Now, in David's heart, the Lord did not see a pure heart. For our Savior declared, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, etc." Since murder and adultery would indeed proceed from David's heart, we know that his heart was not pure. Nevertheless, we read that when the Lord sought out a man after his own heart, he testified and said, "I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart, who will do all my will." This seems a bit of a conundrum. What did the Lord see in David's sinful heart that made this man one after the Lord's own heart? The best answer, I believe, reflected in many of the Psalms of David, is that in David, the Lord saw a man who, though not pure and holy, would repent and trust in him. The Lord, after all, is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He wants all people to be saved. It pleases the Lord when sinners respond to his word with sorrow over their sin and faith in him, recognizing where they have gone astray and clinging to him in trust as the merciful and gracious and forgiving God he is. All of this, of course, enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit working through the Word to turn their sinful hearts to the Lord. What the Lord wants from you and me most of all is that we hunger and thirst for the righteousness he has prepared for us in Christ. Righteousness he freely gives in accordance to his grace to all who trust in him for mercy. Thus the Lord urges us ever to repent and believe and receive his promised gifts, purchased and won for us by Jesus. The final portion of this evening's reading reveals the Lord having mercy on Saul. The Lord had rejected Saul as the first in a dynasty of kings. He would be the last king in his family and would experience trouble during the rest of his reign. God sends a harmful spirit to torment him. The Lord does not, however, withhold relief from King Saul. Through soothing music played by his anointed, David of all people, God provides relief and refreshment for the king whenever the harmful spirit is tormenting him. By this mercy and grace, the Lord persists in urging and inviting the king to trust in him that he might be saved and in the end live in his kingdom forever in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. The Lord, in his mercy, grant such repentance and faith to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.